From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Just this morning from the U.S. Supreme Court, a decision allowing the Trump administration to enforce limits on transgender people serving in the military. It's a bit of a complicated decision, so let's start the hour there. Standing by for our weekly conversation is Ken Rudin, the political junkie. On a Tuesday, our whole week is going to be goofed up. Hi, Ken.
Good morning. I think politics goofs up our week every week. So,
you have a point there, especially with this week having been a scheduled week off for lawmakers. They're back on Capitol Hill. So I think a lot is topsy-turvy. Let's see what we can do with the Supreme Court ruling. And the justices actually staying some district court injunctions. Have you seen this ruling this morning?
I have, and you're absolutely right, Beth. It is a bit complicated, but basically what my understanding of it is that the Supreme Court says that the Trump administration's ban on transgender people serving in the military will continue pending some other cases. There is an injunction by a U.S. District Court in Maryland, and of course there's a big case in the Ninth Circuit Court in San Francisco. So I suspect that nothing will really happen until we hear what the Ninth Circuit Court in San Francisco has to say. And if it does block the Trump administration's policy on transgender people serving in the military, then the Trump administration will take the appeal of that to the Supreme Court. And if today's ruling, the 5-4 ruling with all five conservatives voting, you know, keep the Trump policy, all four liberals saying no, one would think that it's not a good sign for the future for transgenders serving in the military.
You know, Ken, that's why this ruling especially, I think, bears some attention, because it is a statement about the justices on the bench now, the 5-4 ruling, where we may see some decisions go. And the fact that this decision does allow the ban to go into temporary effect, we don't know how long temporary might be, but it is a bigger statement than just this case.
I think it is. I think you're absolutely right. And again, I mean, we talked about, you know, when Brett Kavanaugh replaced Anthony Kennedy, he was certainly a Reagan Supreme Court justice. He was a conservative, but he did side with liberals on many, many cases. He was the true swing justice. He talked about the dignity of sexual minorities and basically the rights of people to live the way they choose. That was Anthony Kennedy. When he was replaced by Kavanaugh, basically the courts shifted to a 5-4 majority against those kind of rights. And of course, everybody's looking at the precarious health of Ruth Bader Ginsburg for another possible court opening.
Right.
But the fact is that the 5-4 decision today is more, it's not just a temporary continuation. It's a sign that this is clearly a conservative court with conservative rulings yet to come.
It is a strange situation with following these reports with Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And just to balance it out, I'll add that I see that she's a character in the new Lego 2 movie, okay?
Wow.
She's such a celebrity. I mean, she's a pop culture celebrity. Like, I don't know the likes of any other Supreme Court justice. She is iconic.
No, that's absolutely true. I mean, you think of Thurgood Marshall being the first African-American. You think of Sandra Day O'Connor being the first woman, but I've never, you're absolutely right, I've never seen somebody like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the way she has captured the attention of so many people in this country.
I'm going to shift gears here. We just came through the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, recognized as it was yesterday, and it was an opportunity that California Senator Kamala Harris took to announce that she's officially running for president. No surprise there, but I'm more interested in what your take is right now, Ken, on her candidacy.
Well, there are pluses and minuses, clearly. I mean, she's obviously a top-rated candidate. She's only been in the Senate since 2016, but Barack Obama was only in the Senate for 2+ years before he announced his candidacy. So you don't have to be in the Senate like for 36 years like Joe Biden did when he ran for president in 2008. So I think that she has great advantages. She's very charismatic. She is one of the early states is in South Carolina, which has a large black voting population. And given the fact that Kamala Harris is a person of color, that could be very beneficial to her in South Carolina. Plus, the first state to come after the first four is California, which I believe is March 1st primary. She has to have a leg up on her fellow candidates in that primary. Of course, Dianne Feinstein doesn't agree with her candidacy, but that's something altogether different. But her problem, it seems like she's not liberal or progressive enough for some on the left, and that includes those who don't like the fact that when she was district attorney and attorney general, she was pretty tough on crime. She supported the death penalty until 2015, which, of course, is anathema to most people on the left. She supported tougher crime measures which really affected African Americans more than anybody else. And you can make the case that, well, you know, she's a black woman running for statewide office for attorney general in California. Can she afford to be anti-death penalty? Well, but I think people on the left will say, look, you know, if everything is politics and what makes her different than everybody else. So she has pluses and minuses. I rate her high up on my list of potential candidates or candidates. But, you know, the first primaries come in June. We're 13 months to go before Iowa. And of course, we don't know about other candidates who may very well get in the race, like Joe Biden, like Bernie Sanders, like Beto O'Rourke. So we have a long way to go to see what the field is like. But right now, I think she's certainly rated in the top tier.
She made her announcement yesterday morning on Good Morning America. And so we're going to hear a clip here. One of the co-hosts, George Stephanopoulos, asked her, in light of sitting on the Senate Intelligence Committee, whether she has seen any evidence that President Trump has committed an impeachable offense.
I cannot talk about the evidence that I've received in the Senate Intelligence Committee, but I will say that there is no question that Bob Mueller is conducting an investigation with the highest level of integrity. He is clearly taking the job very seriously. There have already been 33 indictments, and it is incumbent on the United States Congress to do everything in our power to ensure that his investigation is whole and will be complete without any interference.
It sounds like you don't think William Barr, the president's nominee for attorney general, can oversee it in a fair manner.
Well, you're right, and during the course of the questioning of him, because I sit on the Senate Judiciary Committee, I expressed great concern, and I am very concerned that he was unwilling to agree that if the career people in the Department of Justice say he has a conflict and that he should recuse himself, he wasn't willing to agree that he would do that. We cannot, back to your point about my career, my entire career has been focused on our system of justice. It is one of the hallmarks of what gives us strength as a democracy. And it becomes weak when people interfere with that system for political purpose. And no one in particular, right now, when there are so many Americans that are distrustful of their government and its leaders and institutions, no one should give the American public any reason to question their integrity or the integrity of our system of justice. Yeah, absolutely.
So George there says, do you think the president has done it? And she says, yes, absolutely. So anyway, comment about a lot that was in that minute of her speaking.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it's very interesting that, you know, for the longest time on your show, I would say that, well, there's murmurs, there's hints, there's thoughts about impeachment, but nobody would talk about it openly. With the more and more we're learning about Michael Cohen and what his relationship is with Trump, what we learned from the Manafort filing about whether he leaked information and polling information to people with ties to the Russian intelligence, Mueller is doing a very thorough, as Kamala Harris said, a thorough and quiet investigation. I suspect something is coming soon. And I think more and more Democrats are open to the fact, you know, whenever somebody mentioned impeachment during the Bush-Cheney years, Nancy Pelosi, who briefly was speaker there, then said, look, this is, you know, way premature. I don't want to talk about it. That upset the left. But Pelosi and most Democratic leaders said, this is really reckless. We don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot and overstep our grounds the way that people say Gingrich and the Republicans did in 95 and 96. But having said that, more and more Democrats are saying the I word. And I suspect that once I don't know how much information and how transparent we'll have an understanding of what Mueller's report has. That a lot of that is up to William Barr, the likely next attorney general. But I think the House is just waiting for something to come out from that special counsel, and boom, they're going to start hearings, no question.
Back to your comment, by the way, about California's other senator, Dianne Feinstein, and Kamala Harris's run for the presidency. I'm not sure that I would characterize it that she's not in favor of it. It is well known that Dianne Feinstein has a long, long friendship with Joe Biden. And so her comment about the fact that she would support a Joe Biden run for president over a Kamala Harris herself said on Good Morning America yesterday that she interprets that to be about the long friendship. And it's a friendship, and she says, I understand that. So
I think her answer is exactly right. And I believe that Feinstein backing Biden is part of that. I mean, the fact is they served together 16 years in the Senate. They're longtime friends. And Kamala Harris has only come on the national scene since 2016. But I don't know why Feinstein had to make an endorsement or even say where she's leaning. She could have just said, well, let's see what the field looks like before I say anything. I was surprised that she said I'm for Joe Biden. But again, I will buy Harris's interpretation that this is because of a longtime friendship between Feinstein and the former vice president.
Well, you have a point there. So in making the point that she did support Biden, was she in fact saying something derogatory or negative or something about the Kamala Harris run for presidency? I don't know. Maybe you have a point.
No, again, what I'm saying, I don't think it was really directed at Harris. I think it is because of her longstanding friendship with Biden. I'm just surprised that she had this need to announce it early when so many people are saying, well, let's just see what the field looks like yet. I mean, what about Beto O'Rourke? What about Bernie Sanders? What about Cory Booker? Nobody's none of those guys and gals, Amy Klobuchar, have announced yet. So again, I'm surprised that Feinstein would weigh in this early, but I think it more is a pro-Biden comment and less as a slap at Harris.
And yes, that seems to be how Kamala Harris interpreted it as well. I'm talking with the political junkie, Ken Rudin. So I can't talk with you without referencing this debunked report on BuzzFeed talking about Michael Cohen being instructed to lie by President Trump and the special counsel getting involved. And this story gets written in ways left, right, and up the middle more and more that are completely unexpected.
Well, what's wrong? What saddens me about this decision is that it gives more arrows in for President Trump to attack the media as, you know, false fake news, misinformation. And according to Mueller's office, what BuzzFeed said about that Trump instructed Michael Cohen to lie to Congress about things like that. That was a mistake. And I think that the media needs, look, they've done a remarkable job, I think, the media, in uncovering a lot of shenanigans and worse that the Trump administration and the Trump campaign have been involved in. But when you do something that's proven, or at least alleged to be proven, incorrect, it puts question, it gives people ammunition saying, well, the media is so out to get Donald Trump, they don't care about the facts. And the truth is that when BuzzFeed came out with its story, you saw people on MSNBC and CNN saying, you know, Yahoo, we got Trump. You know, it's without doing the proper work. So Journalism 101 is verifying and confirming information. And it seems like a lot of people in the media did not do it with this story. And that was very unfortunate.
Well, part of the work you're just describing includes tracing what the president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, says and then re-says or walks back. Or do you want to explain what I'm referencing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I rolled my eyes as soon as you said that. I mean, you know, first of all, like Rudy Giuliani, I think it was on Thursday, he said that let me just, before I even go there, on Sunday, he said that Trump the Trump organization was still working on negotiations to get this Moscow skyscraper through the election. The efforts continued through the election when Trump all along said he has no relationship with Russia. He has no business relationship with Russia at all. And then Rudy had to walk that back. On Thursday, he said, well, I always said that Trump didn't collude with the Russians, but I'm not saying that Trump campaign officials didn't collude. I mean, if Rudy Giuliani were my attorney and I were the president of the United States, of course, if I were president of the United States, I would be on your show every day, not just once a week. But if I were president of the United States, why would you have somebody like Rudy Giuliani who has to walk back so many of the things he says on TV? I'm surprised people pay attention to Rudy Giuliani, but at the same time, I'm surprised that he lets them go on TV and says things without clearing it with the White House first.
I wonder how many people just glazed over at trying to even follow what Rudy Giuliani said when. And that's part of the point is that.
But you know something? I think what you just said now raises an even bigger point. I'm wondering if a lot of people glaze over everything. The New York Times, The Washington Post, Rudy Giuliani, Robert Mueller, you know, I think people are just like rolling their eyes. A lot of them don't know whom to believe. And I have this fear that even if Mueller comes up with this bombshell, you're going to have a large percentage of this country saying, oh, who cares? It's not true. And it doesn't matter. And everybody does it. So it's just what's unfortunate, what was truly unfortunate, is that people don't know what to believe anymore. And you know, you watch people like Rudy Giuliani or even prosecutors in Mueller's office. I just wonder if people will just have a collective shrug and say, well, I don't know what to believe anymore.
Well, I do know that they believe two teams are going to the Super Bowl and they will play on February 3rd. And you were cheering for one of them.
Well, look. I am not a Tom Brady fan. I don't like Bill Belichick. I don't like the team. I don't like the owners. But he is perhaps the greatest quarterback in history. The fact that he keeps bringing his team to the Super Bowl, win or lose. Of course, they lost twice against my Giants. I thought I'd throw that in. But they're a great team. And while I don't have to root for them, I certainly won't bet against them because they just know how to win. And it's, you know, I'm rooting for the Rams, no question, but it's going to be a great game, I hope.
Okay, we'll check in with you next Monday and continue our Super Bowl chat and all things political. Thanks, Ken.
Okay, but if I'm president, remember, it's every day, okay?
All right, you're booked. If you're president, you're booked. You know that.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
and your name again is
Beth. Goodbye.
All right, bye.
That is Ken Rudin, the political junkie. You hear him usually on Mondays, sometimes on Tuesdays here on Cap Radio. And this is Insight on Cap Radio.